What's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. I'm the intern, Alex Naples. Joining me today is Joshua Clark. Josh, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Andy Munoz can't be with us today. He's out in the desert somewhere, not answering our texts, working, or, you know, like a normal person or whatever.
He's and pretending then... to work. I don't believe him.
And then Isaac is... Isaac's just living life, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Isaac, what are you doing?
Yeah, let us know. Let us know, Isaac. But yeah, we're here for another episode of the RSL Show, the Real Salt Lake Show on the KSL Sports Network. Looking to fill you in on everything Real Salt Lake and everything that's happened over the course of the last week or so since we last talked. And I think the biggest thing is obviously that LA match.
Bro, a couple weeks ago, we were saying, you know, we really need 9 points. But we also were like, there's no way it happens, right? Like, RSL won't do what they're supposed to. Here we are, 1 point out of the available six.
We called it. We called it. It was a lot. We were talking about how easy the path was, but now here we are with a game left, and we only have 1 point out of the six possible that were on the table, and we may or may not have home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's just the most RSL thing ever, right?
Yeah,
it's to be expected. You know, we don't win the games we're supposed to, and we somehow pull out results randomly that we're not supposed to. So it's par for the course. And I honestly don't know. I really don't know what's going, like, the reasoning. Whatever. It's annoying.
The path was there for RSL to take second place in the West and to have really good seeding heading into the playoffs. And now we're potentially fighting for fifth, potentially fighting for fourth. We'll see. Colorado will tell a lot, I think.
And of course, it's Colorado, right? Like,
and we'll get to that here, but let's backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about LA Galaxy. Real Salt Lake traveled to Los Angeles to take on the LA Galaxy, a team who is eliminated out of the playoffs, the second to last place in the West, and a lot of the squad out. So right off the bat, we said it last time, is a concern because most of the team is unavailable at the moment.
This is true, but let's be honest, the roster or the 11 we put out, still a strong 11. Still an 11 that should be able to easily handle the second to last place team in the LA Galaxy.
Absolutely. I think even with all the players missing, like, that's probably, Pablo put out the best lineup he possibly could have put out. The surprise, maybe a little bit, was a Meccanelli in the midfield. Like, he played there before in the season. He looked really good in the midfield, but I thought we were going to see Scott Caldwell or maybe even Moises Niemann getting a call up, but even Moises didn't make the 18. He completely put his faith into Anelli in the midfield, and I think Anelli did well, but still a surprise nonetheless, seeing that 11 come out.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still depth pieces there that play that position, right? So for Anelli to, you know, be selected as the guy to fill in, like, that says a lot about him. So props to Anelli, really. And I thought he had a pretty good match overall.
Absolutely.
As well.
Good to see Jasper back. Jasper, who had that ankle injury, he was in a boot at America First Field not too long ago. Good to see him back, getting a couple minutes too under his belt. But the starting 11 for Real Salt Lake in this one was Zach McMath in goal, given Brody, Silva, Vera, Oviedo back line. Interesting to see how much minutes Oviedo has gotten since the League's Cup break.
Right, and since he's been arguably one of the worst players on RSL for a small stretch there. Pablo never lost his faith. I still don't think he's been the best, right? I think we could do better, but he's done the job.
It seemed for a moment there that Oviedo kind of lost that spot, and it was going to be Brody and Anelli / Bodie Hidalgo on the right, kind of trading off on that in the fullback positions. But Oviedo has, I think, started every game since Leagues Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting to see Brian Oviedo getting the opportunity in the minutes. In the midfield, Michael Chang, Emeka Anelli, Nelson Palacio, and Diego Luna, which, again, I think considering the circumstances, probably the best line we can put out there.
Yeah. Not mad at it.
Absolutely not. And then Demir Krylak and Anderson Julio up top.
Yeah, I mean, two guys that historically can score. I mean, Demir hasn't been Demir, and Julio's better off the bench, but still, it's doable, right?
Yeah, sure. And with no Chicho heading into this one, and no Sava heading into this one, and no Musovski, who's still out as well, it was probably, again, the best two guys we can have out there at the moment.
You know, that's a hell of a quad contusion, you know?
The game starts 7 minutes in. Well, actually, no, let's back it up. I think literally right off the kickoff, Ralph Selick had a good opportunity, forced Mikovic into a save, if I'm not mistaken. They had a good chance, and they came out with a lot of high energy. And then off a quick counter, Galaxy just shreds apart the defense, and Jovalik puts one into the back of the net 7 minutes in, when we were literally just talking about how we liked how Ralph Selick came out in this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you were to read our group thread, it was, wow, we're actually, you know, pressing and getting back to old RSL, and then got back to even more common RSL and can concede an early goal, early and easy. So, you know, that I think that's the most frustrating part for everyone, right? The team included. Why are we so soft at the end of the games? Why can we not come out and perform defensively at the end of the games? Why are we so susceptible to a counter? I don't have answers right now. I don't know if you do. I don't know if Pablo does, but it's a black eye for the squad. And honestly, like, the biggest problem for this team the last 3-4 months is we've done nothing but get in our own way, right? So until they can figure that out, it's going to be a rough go.
There was an interesting stat on the broadcast after Galaxy scored that opening goal. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think, don't quote me on this because it's just coming back a little bit through memory, but I think the number was that RSL has been outscored 27-10 in first half of matches this season, which is not good at all.
That is atrocious. No matter how good your offense is, right? Teams have weak defenses and good offenses, but your offense has to be so good to continuously make up those kind of numbers in the second half. It's just not, it's not feasible. And I'm glad we have, you know, clawed our way back and made some matches respectable. But I mean, really, if you could just figure out how to not concede the dumbest goals, right? They're not even worldies. They are just, they're painful. Again, just getting in our own way.
I think we can look back at those replays of the two goals and attribute them to defensive mistakes, which again is something that we didn't really see from Real Salt Lake in that middle part of the season, where they were on that big run, the undefeated streak away from home, the undefeated streak, you know, across all competitions. We didn't see those defensive mistakes, and since that little Open Cup, Leagues Cup break, we've just seen time and time again Real Salt Lake committing these defensive errors. And then once again, I don't remember if the first goal was Vera or Silva, but one of them committed a mistake. Jovalik was basically in all by himself and is able to score the goal.
Yeah, it's just too easy, right? And I mean, how do you attribute that? Like, what's changed since that break, right? You can't say injuries. Really, all you can say is confidence.
I think if you ask Pablo, he's going to give you Pablo Ruiz.
See, you know, I have a hard time believing that he is that defensive linchpin.
Because he was, but he wasn't at the same time, you know?
Right. Pablo Ruiz was not causing defenders to lose their mark on corners. He was not causing, you know, guys to track the same player on breakaways. He wasn't causing guys conceding penalties and stupid, you know, red cards early in the game. Like, those aren't on Pablo Ruiz. And Nelson Palacio has been a monster defensively. So I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. I refuse to.
Moving on to that second goal where Douglas Costa, again.
Why are we letting him score, man? Come on.
A defensive lapse. I think this is the one where Marcelo came in for a slide tackle, but just completely mistimed it. Had Marcelo on the floor, and Costa finds some space, puts it into the back of the net, and now you're down 2-0 within the first 35 minutes of the match.
Yeah, and honestly, I would not be surprised if a very large amount of RSL fans turned the game off at that point.
to your point, like, why are we letting Douglas Costa score, man?
Yeah, somehow. And honestly, that was shades of early RSL Marcelo Silva, right? Like,
yeah,
reckless challenges, sure, that were unnecessary. And I really do wonder if those are coming now from him because he's lost a step. But, man, just these last few matches are just really highlighting the need to strengthen that back line. Like, it's not a we'll do it if the right guy comes. No, this is like the whole quest for a nine, right? We need to strengthen that back line. There's no question about it.
And I want to give him a little bit of benefit because obviously Justin Glad not available in this one. Red card suspension, can't travel to LA. And so you have two guys with very similar profiles as your center backs who aren't necessarily the fastest. And so Douglas Costa and this LA Galaxy offense is just using their speed to basically get in behind Marcelo and Vera time and time again in that first half. And not only do we need that center back, we just need to find someone who can complement speed if Glad is out. I love having Silva at number two or off the right, you know, coming off the bench at number two. Sure. Or three or whatever, but Silva doesn't necessarily bring you that speed that you lose when Jay Glad is out.
Well, and let's not forget that Vera's a left back.
That too.
You know what I mean? Like, he was brought in as a left back. He can play center back, but he is a left back. So not only do we not have a guy with speed, but we really don't have a center back number three. And that was a concern at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. You know, with Eric Holt, who's been out, but he's not a speed guy. So that just means that center back core is poorly put together. Not having someone with a better quality than Holt as your third guy is questionable for me. And that's not really that sounds like a huge knock at Holt. And like, Holt has his qualities, right? But he still lacks some things, right? Like speed. So,
and I don't think this is a conversation that we've had yet on the RSL show, but now that we are one game left into the season and Vera has spent a majority of the season playing at that center back position, how do you feel overall that Brian Vera has done at center back for Real Salt Lake?
I think he's done a fine job. I would prefer him at left back. I thought he looked good when he did play for us there, the only a handful of times he did. I think he's a weapon we want in the attack more. But yeah, I think he's been serviceable. I'm not mad at the signing. I think it was a great signing by Elliot in the front office. I just think it's unfortunate that injuries and one red card put him at center back four, and like, that's our option. You know what I mean?
He's definitely shown that he loves to get forward, and I think he can support a lot in the attack. And I think the way that Rousek likes to play with pushing their wings back forward a lot, he would be much more suited in that left back position.
Yep.
Or three in the back.
Yep.
But yeah, moving on. Brian Vera comes off at the half, by the way. Apparently picked up a little bit of a knock.
Right. So now we're down to, well, we still have two center backs, but now Palacio or Scott Caldwell are center back three.
So, right? Yeah.
Where's Chris Winger when we need him? Or Nick Beasley?
Brian Vera comes off at the break. Bodie Davis comes on. And RSL kind of switches things up a little bit. You're already down to nothing. They switch to a different formation. They switch to almost a three in the back look now with Brian Vera out. Bodie Hidalgo playing in a line of three with Silva and Oviedo. Meccanelli pushing forward while also slotting back into that little bit of a right back role. It worked out a lot better, I would say, because now you have Bodie Hidalgo and Anelli, who are a little bit more speedy, tracking back and cutting out opportunities for LA. And I think it looked a lot better defensively in the second half by that adjustment. Not to say that Vera, you know, by all means had a bad game or anything. I mean, obviously the mistakes were his, but that little change in where you bring in that speed makes a difference for LA. Right.
It countered what LA Galaxy were doing.
Absolutely.
It was a smart tactical change. Honestly, I feel like we need to finish the season with that formation, but we won't. So carry on.
And it works out for Real Salt Lake because, well, actually, let's backtrack a little bit because I forgot the first goal came in the first half where Anderson Julio finds a little bit of space right before the break. to put it into the back of the net and make it 2-1 for Rouse Lake. So heading into the break, feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, not quite as doom and gloom, right? Taking a few less shots. But, you know, lucky bounce. I'm never mad at it, though. You know, you get to score, you got to shoot, right? That's the age-old saying. So I'm glad he took the shot. I'll take the deflection all day long. But, yeah, that goal made me feel a little more confident that it wasn't going to be an extremely disappointing loss.
Yeah, I think not only does it give us as confidence as watching the game, but I think it also gives the players confidence. Now it's 2-1. It's a little bit more manageable heading into the second half. And that's kind of what RSL did. They changed that formation. They put a lot more pressure on that Galaxy back line, and they had a lot of opportunities. And in all reality, I think in that second half, RSL had plenty of opportunities to find the winner. Even before that Luna goal, because there's so many chances for Real Salt Lake to go ahead, to tie it, and then to try to go ahead.
Yeah, honestly, this is one of those instances where a Chicho, a Moose, or a Sava in there, mm-hmm. this game is probably 5-2.
Absolutely. That second half, obviously we don't like the mentality from that first half where you go down 2-0 and then have to claw your way back into it. But it worked out well in this case for Real Salt Lake, because that second half, whatever happened in that locker room and that formation change kind of gave that team the motivation and the confidence to really come out and put a lot of pressure on that Galaxy back line. And they had plenty of opportunities again to score and try to win it.
Yeah. But again, you know, there was a lack of quality with finishing and it was glaring. Right. But then we get to Luna's goal, which I'll take. Hell yeah. Let's go, Diego. Beautiful piece of individual skill, honestly.
Absolutely.
And he just keeps making the case that we need to play him at a 10 over and over and over again.
I love that the formation change kind of allowed him to slot back into the middle a little bit more. He showed off that playmaking ability that he has again. He really stepped up and kind of boosted that offense. And I think it has to go. I think it has to be said too, that the connection that him and Andres Gomez had,
yep,
in that second half, fantastic. I loved it. Yep.
The young guys just playing off each other. It was beautiful to see.
I loved it. The energy and the connection that they had in that second half, again, I think almost sparked that comeback. But regardless, it's fitting for Diego Luna to score on Eclipse Day.
Right. Like, you know, that's a script writer moment.
Absolutely.
If there ever was one.
We have the eclipse, and then Diego Luna comes up, puts the team on his back, finds the equalizer in the 76th minute, and then in the 84th, Xavier Gozo and Axel Kai come on to make their debuts.
Yeah, love that. Kind of wish we would have seen it earlier. I know a lot of fans are like, oh, why did we sub him in? We probably could have scored the winner. You never know that, right? Let's be pumped that we just got a 15-year-old in at striker who has nothing but potential. And Gozo, I mean, honestly, this kid I knew very little about, very little, looked the part. So if they came in ready to play, right, if these two can really get some minutes, we could have ourselves some high transfer fees heading out next year. You know what I'm saying?
So I was one of those that questioned the decision, because, again, I felt like RSL had the opportunity to try to go find that winner. So I did question the substitution a little bit. But immediately, the second they stepped onto that pitch, you saw the impact, because they were energetic. They were just running around all over the place, looking for the ball, looking to connect. I think Axel Kai even had a shot a couple minutes after entering the match. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I loved it. Seeing those young guys coming up from the Monarchs, coming up from the Academy, and then making their MLS debuts, and then having shots, a shot on goal, and really bringing a lot of energy into that attacking third late in the match. I loved it. I thought, like I said, I questioned the sub at first, but overall, I think it worked out well for RSL.
Well, and then we can't ignore Gozo's little skill check.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Man, oh man, to have the confidence in your debut to do that. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I really do hope these kids get some more looks, right? Because the future is bright from what we saw Saturday night.
I think they'll definitely be in the conversation of of more minutes next season, because they showed well. They really showed well in coming on and playing those last like 10 minutes or whatever. And so now I think there's a lot of kids like that at the academy level and them at the Monarchs level right now who are sneaky good. They have really high potential and can contribute and can possibly contribute a lot to an MLS side. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they construct the Monarchs and how they construct Real Salt Lake next season.
Yeah.
To kind of balance that out and maybe give guys like Ozo and Axel Kai those opportunities.
Yeah, and honestly, if they can't get him into the first team and get consistent, you know, bench minutes or something like that, I do hope they look for a loan opportunity that will play them consistently at a higher level than the Monarchs, just to really force along their development. Since MLS Next isn't really, for me, not the place to get those developmental minutes. I mean, it's good, but even if they could get into a USL side, you know, and play a whole season, that could be great. I mean, he's 15. He could go on loan for two more years, come back at 18, and just absolutely slaughter people. So let's do that.
And it seems like RSL is a little bit more open to kind of loaning out players and giving players more opportunities to go out and find those minutes than they have been in the past. We really didn't see guys like – we didn't really see in the past what's happening now with Hazio Orozco, with Elijah Paul, with Delens Pierre, with Julio Benitez, who are all on loan at the moment to other clubs, getting those minutes and hopefully developing. I mean, obviously, besides the Pinzgau guys like Brody and Ruiz, who went to Austria, really there was never really those opportunities in the past.
Yeah, in the past, anytime it did happen, it seemed more like a salary dump or, you know, hitting roster compliance type move.
Yeah,
not a developmental move.
Yeah, and now, like I said, you got some of these guys in Europe right now playing. I think Pierre's in the USL. Benitez is also in the USL. And so just guys going out to get minutes and develop. And I think it's a good move overall. You can't hurt anybody. It'll just give those guys opportunities to play.
Yep. You got to have the kids playing. If they're not going to be playing on the first team, get them out somewhere that they'll get minutes and grow. It's a must.
And so I think coming back to the Galaxy match, I have some of the questions I have following this game is, first of all, Demir Krylak getting subbed off in the 59th minute, early in the second half.
It's a bit early.
Uncharacteristic for Pablo to kind of make a substitution that early. Usually see him come in late 60, early 70, and you pulled Demir Krylak off in the 59th, which was, I think, an interesting move, and kind of made me question where Demir stands on this team right now.
Does Demir have to hit a certain amount of minutes in order to get his extension?
I have no idea.
Because that's what that feels like. It feels like we're hobbying him. I don't know if that's the case, but yeah, uncharacteristic from Pablo. But I mean, Demir isn't the same threat, right? So if you're really trying to fight your way back into a game, is that the right move? I don't know. Did we miss his height in the box a little bit? Yes. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to say. I don't want to read into it too much.
And I mean, ultimately, the move too was for Gomez, which like we said earlier, I think it worked out really well with Luna. They complemented each other really well, and so maybe it was just that pure tactical adjustment to bring on Andres Gomez. But still, like I said, it's an interesting move to just bring Demir Krylak out that early.
Agreed, I agree, but I feel like that's just where we are with Demir's career. I hate it, right? He's a club legend. I feel like, you know, the injury really did him dirty. I don't think we're ever going to see the same Demir again. And that's, you know, devastating, really.
I think the other question I had at the end of this, too, was like we were talking about, I'm really happy that a guy like Gozo got the opportunity to go out, get his debut. But where does that leave guys like Bertin Jakobsen, who seemed to kind of break into the squad earlier in the season, and then upon the arrival of Chicho, just kind of fizzled out?
I mean, you're a draft pick, right? That's kind of what happens. you're the first one to lose your spot. And I prefer that they brought in an academy kid to get an opportunity to Bertin. And that's no knock at him, but let him finish out the Monarchs, do his thing. Maybe he's already back in France for the off season. Who knows? But yeah, it sucks to be a draft pick sometimes, because I feel like no matter how well you do, you're still the low man on the totem pole.
I mean, to kind of counter that a little bit, you look at Emeka Anelli, who is also a draft pick, but he seems to have cemented himself almost as a, not even just like a guy who's going to be rotating between the Monarchs and Ralph Lake, but a guy who's really cemented his spot coming off the bench and rotating into that starting 11, and doing that. And so I think with the way that Jakobsen was playing, did he have that opportunity to really become that player like Emeka to start rotating into that squad?
You know, he had opportunity. I don't think he showed as well as Emeka. And Emeka's also a more versatile player, right? You can use him at the outside backs. You can use him in the center of the park, whereas Bertin's kind of just a winger, right, through and through. It's a position we're kind of stacked on, right? So Emeka's opportunity came because he's really filled a position of need this year, whereas Bertin was just kind of there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that answer, man. Cool. Moving on. I think those are kind of the last thing I have for the Galaxy game. Anything else you want to add?
No, just that, you know, I'm glad we got a point, right? But again, very disappointing from RSL. It's so hard to watch right now.
Disappointing first 35 minutes. And then towards the end, they got a little bit better. They scored the goal. And like you said, happy with the point. I think that's probably the best thing you could hope for in that situation.
Yep.
And now we look ahead to Colorado, who is the last game of the season. They're dead last in the West. They have absolutely nothing to play for. We should have Sava back. We should have Ojeda back. We should have Lambert and Rubin back. What do you expect from Real Salt Lake heading into the Colorado territory this Saturday?
You know, we just talked a lot about not having center back depth. No disrespect to Lambert. He just hasn't played yet, so not on the top of my head. But I do hope we see him get some minutes.
Yeah.
I would like to see him partner with Glad, maybe, or even Vera, just to see. Or, you know, come in as a sub. I just want to see what he's got. He looks good for Jamaica. He looked good for Phoenix in the USL. Let's give the guy a shot, right?
I think he came on for like what, 5 minutes?
Not enough to get a taste.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But from what they've said is that they've really liked, from what the club has said, they've really liked Lambert so far. So,
you know, I want to believe that, but I honestly think even if he was available on Saturday, he still wouldn't have started. So
yeah.
They can say that to everyone in the face, but until I see him get minutes, whatever. But, you know, Colorado, they, you know, like you said, they're out of it. They have nothing to play for, not even the Rocky Mountain Cup at this point. The only thing they have to play for right now is pride, and that's almost scarier. So I expect them to come at RSL. If RSL has looked anything like they've looked in the last two matches, that's going to be a problem, because I think a USL2 team could give RSL fits at times this year or in the last couple weeks. I hope RSL does it for themselves. I hope they do it for the traveling fans, and just to not lose to the worst team in the league, in the West, I should say. I refuse to give any kind of positive prediction for this one because I don't feel it, right? So at best, I'm looking at a draw. At worst, we lose by a goal or two. So that's what I've got.
I think the most important thing right now needs to be getting the win, because you want to head into the playoffs with confidence. Obviously, that draw is a little bit to build on going into Galaxy and getting the point. But I think we saw like a lot of defensive things that need to be fixed and a lot of defensive things that need to be worked on. And I think Colorado's a good opportunity to do it. They're not really playing for much at this point. They they're going to become there. I think they're going to come out swinging because it is the last game and it is their rival. And so I think it's a good opportunity to really fix up and polish up the defensive mistakes. So a good opportunity to kind of fix things up in the midfield and kind of see where your attacking options are at the moment, because there's still no word really as to the extent of the injury of Chicho Arango. And so I don't necessarily expect to see Chicho on Saturday.
And even if he is somewhat ready to go or ready to go, but barely,
no, I don't think they should risk it. Absolutely. No reason. No. Mm-mm. So I think this is a good opportunity to really weigh out your options at what you're going to do off on the offensive end, because you're heading into this one essentially with no Musovski and no Chicho, who those two as a pairing were fantastic through that summer. They haven't really been, I think Moose hasn't really been the same since the whole contract situation thing was going on. I think he's only played like one game since that whole situation. And so I think now, especially too, with Chicho going down, you really have to figure out what you're going to do on that offensive end, because is Ruben Arena going to come in and give you the same type of work rate and the same type of output that Chicho gives you, or that, that pairing with Chicho and Moose gave you, right? And so I think Ross Lake need to take this game to really look for those 3 points, fix things up, and head into the playoffs with confidence.
Yeah, I agree. And we all know Rubin has quality, right? I just hope we see it. He will put in the work. He'll bust his ass, but I'd like to see that turn into a goal or two. You really just got to see where we're at, because going into the playoffs with no Moose, no Chicho is not great. It's not great.
And I think even with Chicho Arango out, I would love to continue to see that Sava striker experiment going a little bit.
Yep.
And really, in a situation where Chicho Arango is out injured, obviously, like I said, we don't know the extent of it. We got to figure out who's going to really complement Savarino, and we have to kind of give it to Savarino to step up and really put the team on his back and take that workload that Chicho Arango gave you and really try to start finding those goals and finding those opportunities. And so I think having Savarino up top would be a good experiment to continue, especially against a team like Colorado, and kind of see where that leaves you.
Yep. And like you said, it's Sava's time to kind of reinforce that he's the man. Let's hope we see it.
So kind of looking at Colorado, like I said, they're really not playing for anything at this point. They lost Robin Fraser, but they were able to pull off a win against Austin. They've been pulling out some draws, and they seem to be getting a little bit of that new coach, or firing your coach bump, is whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. So they could be sneaky in this one.
Yeah, no, they're going to be a problem, right? They're going to be pesky. They're still absolutely beatable, no doubt in my mind, but you got to be careful. You can't be overconfident on this one, just like you shouldn't have been against Kansas City or LA. Yeah. I could really see us coming out of this 9-point swing with one. I really can. I don't think it's unrealistic.
How unfortunate.
It's horrible. Horrible.
How unfortunate. To kind of wrap things up and get out of here, we're just going to do a quick episode today to once again catch you guys up. Let's take a look at the table, kind of see what's at stake for Real Salt Lake. At the top, of course, St. Louis. They've already clinched the West at 56. LAFC in second with 51. Seattle in third with 50. Houston in fourth with 48. Real Salt Lake in fifth with 47. Vancouver in sixth with 47. Portland with 43. FC Dallas with 43. And in ninth place, San Jose with 43. Sporting Kansas and Minnesota can still make it. They're sitting in 10th and 11th at 41.
How bad is the West, man?
I think so. Not only is it interesting because there's so many teams that are, I think, closer than we've ever seen before, right? There's not even 10 points separating 11th and 3rd at this point. But you look over at the East and the top teams have hit the 60s. The top teams have hit the 50s. And then over here in the West, you're your fourth place team is only sitting at 48.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. The
West
majority of the West is just eating each other. Yep.
Absolutely.
Whereas the East has a couple really strong teams and then basically Western Conference teams. So
speaking of which, did you look at the player salaries?
I have not.
I think the thing that stood out to me the most is Orlando City, who are sitting in second place in 60, and they're at the bottom of spending. They have no DPs on their roster. They have, or as far as spending, they have no DPs. Mm. It's all TAM players, and they have 60 points on the season.
That's wild. So they did a really good job at spreading out their salary, which is what RSL is thriving to do, right? Good on them. It's not a lot only, like St. Louis. St. Louis's spend is really low as well.
Yeah. Rouselix is still low, considering I think they're in like the bottom 10.
Yeah, which is fine. We're not last, but it's crazy to see that some teams are able to really scrape the bottom of the barrel and perform.
Orlando is wild. It blew my mind when I saw that, because I've thought Orlando was a sneaky good team in the East. I think they're one of the dark horse competitors for that East.
Mm-hmm.
If they can really get Cincy, if they can really catch Cincinnati. But for them to be at the bottom, the dead bottom of spend, and to be in this position, shout out to Orlando.
Yeah, shouts.
Shout out to Orlando.
You look at Colorado and you just giggle. You know what I mean?
Well, then you look at Toronto and you think, yikes.
Okay, then that's kind of the antithesis, right? Like, you can spend very little and do very well, or you can spend the most and be the worst. If you don't build the roster the right way, which is what the front office will always tell you, they're not just going to get a guy. You got to get the right guys, which I completely understand. And Toronto is the shining example of that.
Absolutely, 100%. You have Lorenzo Insigne making 15 mil a year, and he really hasn't done much for Toronto. Or you can be like Inter Miami, who has spent 78% of their salary
on one player,
on Lionel Messi.
It's absurd.
78% of their budget is going to Lionel.
I hope he buys everyone dinner every night because he can afford it and they can't. You know what I mean?
I think the salary thing showed like 20 million guaranteed for Messi, and only a couple players have ever even been able to reach over 20 million in career earnings in Major League Soccer.
That's absurd. Is RSL's entire spend even 20 million?
Oh man, I can't remember, but either way, 78% is wild.
I don't love that. I know he's a big player. I know what he brings to the league, but that just feels gross. You know what I mean? Imagine being the guy 22 on the roster making 60K.
Yeah.
And just looking at that. I mean, I know it's messy, but it can't feel good.
So to wrap things up, let's take a look at some Twitter questions. We got a couple, so thank you guys for submitting in. We know we posted a little bit late. This was kind of a last minute thing between Josh and I. And so thank you to those who participated. And so we'll take it over to our questions. And we'll start with Mike Hymus, who asks, what player going into the playoff needs to step up, knowing the chance that we don't have Chicho available? Also, if we don't make it out of the first round, is Pablo gone?
I need Domi to kind of come out and show and bag a couple more goals, right? Be the Domi of old, whether it be a header off a set piece, a cross, cleaning something up. Get me a goal. Stop being offside. Get me a goal. That's who I want to see step up the most. And then, of course, our entire defensive unit, but we've already talked about that. And if we do crash out in the first round, I would love to say, yeah, Pablo's done. But we all know this club. Probably not. They'll probably wait till four games into next season and then throw off the entirety of next season, right? Screw the new coach out of a preseason, etc. So I want to say yes, he needs to, get out of the first round, but let's be real, guys. And I hope I have to grow on that by either us getting out of the first round or them pulling the trigger.
As far as players stepping up, I think I agree with you to Demir. I agree with you, just the attack in general, right? A lot of the attack, our goal-scoring production had been shouldered onto Chicho. Now you potentially lose that. Someone's got to step up and shoulder that and be that offensive force that we need.
To replace. Can't rely on your center backs.
Whether it's going to be Sava, whether it's going to be Dami, whether it's going to be Rubio, whether it's going to be Julio, someone needs to step up, and they need to do it quickly because the playoffs are right around the corner. As far as the first round exit goes, I love this question, and I'll tell you why. If I'm David Blitzer or Ryan Smith or one of the owners of Real Salt Lake, and I just pumped in 14 mil, 16 mil, however much it was worth the transfers to boost this squad, to strengthen this squad, and I get the exact same result I had last season, I'm asking questions. Yes, they said, you know, we're always going to hold on to that statement that they made when they first bought the club, right? They're going to be ambitious. They're going to be challenging for titles. And so we're always going to hold them up to that standard. Mm-hmm. And so now, again, if I'm pumping money into this team and we're getting the exact same result with what should be a better squad, which should be a strengthened squad that should be competing in this league, I'm asking questions about everything.
Yeah.
Why am I going to put more money into this team if I'm getting the same results?
Yeah.
Why am I going to spend more if it's just going to be the same thing? And so now I'm going to be asking questions of the organization, of Pablo, of, you know, the front office or whatever. And I think this offseason, if Real Salt Lake go out in the first round, there's going to be a lot of important decisions that John Kimball and Ryan Blitzer, or Ryan Smith and David Blitzer, are going to have to make this season or this offseason.
Absolutely. I mean, this team is night and day, like quality wise, better than any of the last few years, right? There's no excuse. So serious questions need to be asked.
And how much do you think they weigh a semifinal appearance in the Open Cup?
I mean, it was nice. If you really wanted to protect yourself, you do a lot better in that semifinal. You know what I mean?
100%.
It was an embarrassing loss. It was embarrassing. You know, it was embarrassing in the League's Cup League's Cup. I don't think it did anything for him. And let's be completely honest, that run in the Open Cup, there were some really hard games for RSL that should not have been hard. Las Vegas Lights gave us fits on a dirt pitch, right?
Like on a baseball field.
Right. It's not like we slaughtered everyone 10-0 going through.
Yeah.
So I it was nice that we got to a semifinal. The opportunity was wasted, and I don't think that secures you any kind of job for next year.
It's gonna be if Real Salt Lake crash out in the first round, it's gonna be a really interesting offseason.
Oh, and you know what? I'm here for it. Let's have some interesting. We've already gone through ownership changes. Let's keep it going.
And it'll ultimately go back to what they said the first day is, how ambitious are you going? Are you really?
Yeah, and prove
I think,
it.
Exactly. And I think if RSL goes out in the first round, now it's time to show how ambitious you really are.
Yeah, especially when you see Pat Noonan, who was in the running to coach RSL.
Yeah.
Just win the supporter shield. So
exactly.
It is being too, what's the word? That's what I'm looking for here. I don't know. Taking care of your own, it only gets you so far. Sometimes you have to make those hard decisions and kind of reset because, you know, our last group of coaches, they've all been assistants and kind of come up through the system. And when's it time to change it up?
Look at the Jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
Change it up a year and a half after taking over.
Yep. Throw everything off. You pump money in with players. Now let's change the head of those players, right? Like, let's just go for it. But why not?
It's going to be an interesting offseason. Zerk says, opinions on the player salaries that were published, who should get an increase or decrease. Also, any injury updates? Apparently, Chicho out for the season, question mark.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Chicho's out for the season. I haven't really broken down the player salaries. I think we like to do that more at the end of the year just to give us something to talk about. And I also feel like they're very misleading, yeah. Those salaries. Like, they're not wholly accurate. So guys are going to look like that. Like, Rubio's making way too much money. You know, we could really get into it. So let's wait and see what happens a little bit, and then we can kind of dig into that.
I like when it comes to like the salary releases and stuff. I just love to see the team spend one,
yeah, rather than that's the one I like too.
Yeah,
unless there's a weird anomaly where, you know, Messi's making 78% of the entire team, right? But we don't really have that anomaly. We do have guys making way more money than others, but it's a little more divided. So,
and as mentioned earlier, we haven't heard any changes on the Chicho situation. If it is a pulled hamstring or, whatever. Season.
Yeah, it's
4 to 6 weeks, and that's basically playoffs.
Yeah, prepare your brain for the worst, which is the rest of the season, yeah. And hope for the best. But personally, I know we need him for the playoffs. I would rather him miss them and heal up 100% and be ready to go next season than potentially re-injure it, be out for the first half of next season, right? Like, let's just get him back to full strength.
Yep. I think I agree with that. And then the last one, does Pablo keep his job Jonathan Pena asks, does Pablo keep his job if we bomb in the first games of playoffs? Again, it's going to be an interesting offseason.
We'll see. We will see. He should. That's what we'll leave at. He should.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And so I think that's going to about do it for us today. Anything else you want to add, Josh?
No, I think we've bored our fans long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. People. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We just got low energy there. Yeah. 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 Andy would be proud.
I know. Do people even listen anymore? You know?
Yeah. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't.
Hey, you got some cool news though to share.
I do.
Yes. What's going on Saturday at Kaya?
Oh yeah. So the team store, the employees of the team store and Real Salt Lake have a lot of merch and things they've accumulated over the years, and they want to get rid of it so they can get new stuff. So it's gonna be a little garage sale, a lot like the jersey swap. Come down, see if you can find any cool gems. I'm going to be there with Saltaire FC as well, slinging some merch, including the new Saltaire Women's Football Club t-shirt. That'll be exclusive to there for the first, week or so. So, yeah, come on down, hang out, watch the game, play some futsal, see if there's any gems. Maybe someone has a victory gold that's going to be fought over, I'm sure. Just come down and hang out, pick up some merch.
And even if you don't want to go get merch, go say hi to Josh.
Just come hang out.
Yeah, go say hi to Josh. He's going to be there all by himself.
Well, I'm hoping, Mitch, if you're listening, I'm hoping the Mitch makes an appearance with me. So let's go, Mitch.
All right, man, that's going to do it here for us on the RSL show. Make sure to go follow us on X, Twitter. Make sure to go follow us on IG. Go follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube. Again, we thank you for listening. We thank you for supporting. And we'll see you after Colorado.
Yeah, we'll talk then.
Thanks for listening to the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network.